Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Lauren Chandler, who's written a new book. It's her first book. It's called Steadfast Love, on God's Word and Faithful Love. And she had a crisis a few years ago where she was dealing with her husband, who was 35 years old, was a pastor, and then was diagnosed with brain cancer. Lauren, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
Sure. And tell us what happened.
Yeah, on Thanksgiving Day 2009, I had just come in from grabbing a few last minute things for Thanksgiving dinner. Came through the door that morning and was preparing some of the dishes for later that day, and I heard a crash in the next room, and waited to hear my husband say something. He was in there with my three kids, who were at the time 6, 4, and 6 months. Didn't hear a word except my six-year-old daughter saying, "Daddy." So I walked in to find my husband, who was just the rock in my world, just so steady, so sure, so strong, so weak in that moment, suffering from a grand mal seizure. And so we called ambulances, got him to a hospital, and they discovered a mass in his right frontal lobe. And a week later went in to have it resected, and come to find out it was a malignant brain tumor, grade 3 oligodendroglioma. And, he went through radiation and chemo, radiation for 6 weeks, chemo for 18 months. And, praise God, now 6 years later, he has had nothing but clear scans since, but he was given only 2 to 3 years to live. But by God's grace and what we are claiming is his healing, he has been free, cancer-free ever since.
Wow. Is he still active in the ministry?
He is. He is still the pastor of a church in the Dallas area. Amazingly, they resected probably a golf ball size, or actually almost more like a tennis ball size, of his brain, and he has retained all functions that he had before, which is pretty miraculous.
Wow. Now, I understand that in a sense, this book highlights your own personal journey where you grew to no longer trust in anything, even your husband, as opposed to trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone through it all.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, it wasn't just the storm that I've learned to trust in a steadfast love. There are other times in my life, maybe seasons in the desert, seasons where I've suffered from just entanglement in sin or suffering the consequences of my own folly, where God has been so gracious to show me all these kind of false anchors is what I called it, all these places where I had tried to find stability in my life that were outside of the steadfast love of the Lord. And I'll be honest, I still struggle on this side of heaven. I'm going to struggle with putting my hope in these false anchors, but I'm going to try as much as I can to humble myself, to cry out to the Lord, to show me that his steadfast love is my only true anchor, the only anchor that will give me any kind of stability in all seasons of life.
Hmm. You know, that's interesting. I've thought about this myself in terms of, but not thinking in terms of anchors, but rather thinking in terms of idols. Those the Lord loves, he will discipline. If there are things in our lives that we idolize and he is working in our heart, he will show us that it's not worthy of putting our trust in that. Only he is worthy of that. And so he will destroy that idol. So a great runner, somebody who just worships his running career or whatever, might end up with an injury. And boom, there it goes.
Right.
And, you know, no more trusting in that particular idol. So give us an example or two in your own particular life where what seemed to be a good anchor in your life turned out to be a false anchor.
You know, I grew up firstborn good girl. We were in church on Wednesday nights, on Sunday mornings, and on Sunday nights. And I was just the ultimate good girl. And accepted Christ at a young age, and you know, knew as much as my little 9-year-old brain could wrap around and heart could wrap around, being a Christian, I still struggled. But, you know, some people have this story of being, you know, this rebellious teenager, just a rebellious young person, and really the Lord just rescued them radically out of their rebellion. And my rebellion was much more subtle. My rebellion was more, you know what, God, thank you for helping me be a good person. So it was more about me being perfect than it was about me trusting in Christ's perfection for me and Christ's his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection. I wanted God to just help me live a perfect life more than I wanted the perfect God.
Huh. All right. Excellent. We're talking right now with Lauren Chandler, author of the book called Steadfast Love. You can get more information at laurenchandler.com. Lauren is spelled L-A-U-R-E-N. I don't know if you have a Bible there available. If you do, let me know. Do you?
I can get one.
Okay,
very
great.
Quickly.
All right, you do that. And while you're doing that, I'll just say that this book is published by Brodmann and Holman, which is out of Nashville, Tennessee. I personally have had the privilege of having a few books published by Brodmann and Holman in the early days of their particular publishing. That was back in the 1990s. You have the Bible
all
there?
Right.
You have the Bible?
I've got it.
Great.
I do.
Turn to Psalm 107. I understand that Psalm 107 meant a lot to you. And seeing as how it is not Psalm 119, perhaps you could read Psalm 107 and explain why this has meant so much to you in your particular life.
Absolutely.
Lauren Chandler.
It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So we bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds and songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away and their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste, because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly. and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. This is a beautiful psalm where we hear this refrain of these people who are in different distresses, that they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. They cry out not when they're okay, not when they can stiffen their upper lip or pull it together, but right in the middle of their sighing, when they're beaten down, they cry out to the Lord, and it says that he delivers them from their distress. He shows them his steadfast love in the midst of their distress, and he delivers them.
Yeah, from what I can tell from your book, it seems as if Psalm 107 is, in a sense, a kind of a recurring theme within the book itself.
Yes, it is. It's, you know, because it's a recurring theme in this psalm, and really the book is a deep meditation on Psalm 107 and all the ways that I have seen in Scripture, digging around in Scripture, these people, God's people in the desert, in chains, suffering from folly and caught in a storm, and how God has shown his steadfast love to people in the Bible. And these aren't people that just stories that we can't relate to. They are stories that happen. These are things that happen to real flesh and blood people. And there's stories that continue today of God's deliverance. And so in the book, I tell stories, my own stories of times in the desert, times when I've suffered from chains, you know, the entanglement of sin, generational sin, chains of my own rebellion, and then also suffering from buying into my own wisdom and subscribing to my own folly and suffering those consequences. And then, of course, talking about the storm of my husband's diagnosis, and even other storms, miscarriage, weathering a storm that actually, when I was writing this, happened. My father went through triple bypass surgery, and we weren't even sure what was going to happen to him when I was in the middle of writing this book. So I'm coming at it not as someone stepping back and looking at something from afar, but sure, as someone who's been right in the middle of each of these distresses and seeing these distresses in Scripture and God proving his faithfulness in all of it.
That's neat. I remember, by the way, just as a quick anecdote, when Richard Nixon wrote his first book, he said that the title was Six Crises, but writing a book was so difficult. And it was a nonfiction book, which is what your book is. And he said he should have called the book Seven Crises because of writing the book. And by the way, as far as you reading from Psalm 107, it was so beautiful. You could tell that this has meant a lot to you. It reminded me of the old anecdote where this actor got up one time and he recited Psalm 23. And then the actor turned around at this dinner party or whatever, and he asked this local pastor, an elderly man that had been walking with Jesus for years and years and years, he asked him to say Psalm 23. Both were reciting it from memory. And after the pastor spoke and said Psalm 23, the actor turned to everybody and he said, "I know the 23rd Psalm. He knows the shepherd, the one that's described in the 23rd Psalm." So it's as if Psalm 107 has meant so much to you. So it was beautiful to hear you say it. Well, we have about half a minute left. Anything you want to say in conclusion about God's steadfast love?
Only that it's the only thing that will hold. It is a sure and steadfast anchor for our souls throughout any distress we might see on earth.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. LaurenChandler.com for more information. The name of the book that is hot off the press from Broadman and Holman is called Steadfast Love. For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb. Thank you, Lauren, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.